Our first scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke. Listen for the word of God as it's found in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. While a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. This ends our reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Ephesians, Instructions for Christian Living. Listen for the word of God as it's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." This ends our reading of God's word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let's pray a second. Mighty and loving God, we come into your majestic presence that you would be with us. As we open our hearts and our minds to you, that you would just continue to fill us with your grace and your love. In Christ's name, amen. Well, thanks for the chance to talk a little bit about camp while I'm with you today. We are so blessed that we have been invited to live in God's presence, to live on holy ground. We are so blessed that we have accepted that invitation to live on holy ground. I don't take that lightly, because it is a powerful, powerful place for us to live. Each of us have received that invitation in a very different way. Each of us have accepted that invitation and responded to that invitation in a very different way. How do we live on holy ground? Listen again for the word of God from Ephesians, this time from the Message translation. And I do this mainly because I think it's good to listen to these a couple of times. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. What this adds up to then is this: no more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other, after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Did you used to make ends meet by stealing? Well, no more. Get an honest job so that you can help others who can't work. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Don't grieve God, don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God and Christ forgave you. So ends this reading. As I hear these words, I hear stay on God's path rather than walk your own path. And I hear a call to walk on holy ground and live a new life in Christ. When we're at camp, we invite all the campers to come into this holy ground, to come into God's presence in this place, where they can, maybe some of them for the first time, experience what it is like to live in Christian community and see what it's like to take on a new life in Christ. These are pretty thin-veiled scriptures to share when we talk about camp. Let's hear from the Message again, this one, the story of the seeds. As they went from town to town, a lot of people joined in and traveled along. He addressed them using this story. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Some of it fell on the road. It was trampled down and the birds ate it. Other seed fell in the gravel. It sprouted, but withered because it didn't have good roots. Other seed fell in the weeds. The weeds grew with it and strangled it. Other seed fell in rich earth and produced a bumper crop. Are you listening to this? Really listening? His disciples asked, "Why did you tell this story?" He said, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. There are words who need stories, but even with stories, some of them aren't going to get it. Their eyes are open, but don't see a thing. Their ears are open, but don't hear a thing." This story is about some of those people. The seed is the word of God. The seeds on the road are those who hear the word, but no sooner do they hear it than the devil snatches it from them so they won't believe and be saved. The seeds in the gravel are those who hear with enthusiasm, but the enthusiasm doesn't go very deep. It's only another fad, and the moment there's trouble, it's gone. And the seed that fell in the weeds, well, those are the ones who hear, but then the seed is crowded out, and nothing comes of it as they go about their lives worrying about tomorrow, making money, and having fun. But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. So ends this reading of God's word. Each of us may have a different image as we listen to the parable of the seeds. The ground on which we stand may determine how the seed of the word of God takes root in us. The ground on which each of us has walked throughout our life has impacted how the seed of God's word has grown in us. We may have walked on rocky ground and may again. We may have lived in the desert, wandered in the wilderness, lacking the nurturing for that seed of the word of God and the opportunity to let that flourish into fruit. Some campers come to Westminster Spires with very little experience of a living on fertile ground. A lot of them have lived on a lot of rocky soil. As we're called to provide a place at camp with led by the Holy Spirit, we just hope that these young people have a chance to experience living in God's presence. We respond to that call, help it become holy ground, providing some fertile soil where the seeds of God's word can grow, be nurtured, and produce fruit. As I was thinking about what I might include as an introduction to sharing some things about camp, I thought a lot about holy ground, fertile soil, and that led to the concept of thin places, a concept from the Celtic tradition. Thin places are times, places, or events where we are aware of the closeness of God. Camp at Westminster Spires is for many of us a thin place where we are particularly aware of the closeness of God. This may be partially due to the location, a beautiful place in the mountains, but I believe it may be a thin place even more so because we go to that place with an open heart and mind that is focused on being in God's presence in that place. To honor Keith, I would say the takeaway from my time with you this morning is an invitation for you to explore the relationships of the camping ministry at Westminster Spires, how it is holy ground for these young people, how it is fertile soil and a thin place, and for you to consider how you connect to these ideas. These aren't just for young people attending camp and youth retreats, but they are important for each of us as we are nurtured and produce fruit. Where do you find holy ground? As you deepen your life in God's presence, do you expand the places where you find holy ground to include your workplace, your home, wherever? Where do you find fertile soil? Where has the fertile soil been for you, where you have been nurtured, where you felt safe enough to really let the Word of God find fertile ground in your own life? Where are the thin places where you have become aware of the closeness of God? As Susan and I have traveled, we've run across the term, this is a place of great significance. We've been to a number of those places, and it occurs to me that as we come to live in God's presence, everywhere is holy ground. Everywhere is fertile soil. Everywhere can be a thin place where we experience the closeness of God. Everywhere can be a place of great significance. We often pray for God to be present with us. God has made and fulfilled that promise in mighty and marvelous ways throughout the ages. And I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. I'm not worried about God showing up and being present with me. I'm much more concerned that I will not recognize and be aware that I am always and forever in God's presence. As young people come to camp, that's something that we hope that the Holy Spirit will open a spot where they will have a chance to live in holy ground, to live on fertile soil, to experience that thin place, and to take all of those with them as they go back home. An overview of camp and what happens with the youth ministry at Yellowstone Presbytery. We present three camp sessions each summer: elementary camp, third through fifth grade kids, junior high camp, sixth through eighth, and senior high. We also plan two youth retreats each year, one in the fall in October. It's usually held at Rockhaven, the Bozeman First Presbyterian Church camp up the Gallatin Valley. And we have a ski retreat. The last 2 years we've stayed at the church in Butte and skied up at Discovery. Right, Jim? Discovery. This year we'll stay at the church in Bozeman and we'll ski at Bridger Bowl. A chance to have 40 young people worshiping in any congregation is an amazing experience for the young people and for that congregation. The camp staff is made up of Simon Hill, our caretaker, and pretty much the rest are a whole bunch of volunteers, except we do pay our counselors who come. Sandy and Jim and many of you that have led and participated and revamped the camp to keep the facility ready, we couldn't do it at all without you. Thank you. And the campers, thank you. Pastors that provide the Bible teaching volunteer their time to come. George Goodrich has been with us now for 7 years in that role. Last year, Will Johnson, the husband of Katie Emery, their pastors out in Terry and Glendive. Will led our junior high camp this last year. Counselors were so blessed. A lot of these kids have been to camp for years and years, and they keep coming back. Last year, all of our counselors were kids that are going into college. So a lot of maturity from them. Bill has been our cook now for 8 years, so we're blessed to have an excellent cook join us. So we have great leadership throughout all the camping program We just couldn't make it happen with all these folks. Our budget is supported partially by the per capita. You've heard us encourage you to pay extra per capita fee that goes to Presbytery and Synod and the General Assembly. It's been $45 for a number of years, but a portion of that goes to help support camp. A portion of funding for camp comes from camp fees and scholarships from churches and Yellowstone Presbytery. And finally, it's supported by donations from folks that deeply believe in this ministry. We have a Presbyterian Camping and Youth Committee that provides leadership for the program. It's hard for us to meet because how widespread we are. Last year at camp, we had campers from Miles City, White Sulphur Springs, Dillon, Manhattan, Billings, Seattle, thank you, yes. Yes. So from really a number of areas, yeah. Thank you. A unique aspect of our camp is that we're very multi-generational. We have invite some families have joined us. Kara Todd happens to be my daughter, and her four kids have been with us for three summers. Brandon and Kristen Willett from Miles City have been with us a couple summers with their three kids. These are all camper wannabes. These are children who at a very young age have started to experience camp and will continue to return. This past summer, we had six interns from Whitworth University join us. They were in Yellowstone Presbytery for the whole summer, serving in a number of churches, but they came and joined us. In the slideshow, you will see one of the Whitworth interns playing cello along with our guitars. It was amazing, so beautiful. And also, I have to note, Cynthia has been with us for five summers, and just an amazing addition. Thank you, Cynthia, to what we've been able to do there. We'll take a look at a slideshow from our last season. Most days include Bible study, worship, music, holy ground, a special time, small group dialogue, craft time, recreation, fellowship, group games, and team building. And you will see a couple of pictures of a mission trip the senior high kids did to the nursing home in Red Lodge. We hike, raft on the Stillwater River, take a trip up the Beartooth Pass, swim at the pool in Red Lodge, and visit the wildlife sanctuary in Red Lodge. Again, our goal at camp and at retreats are to invite young people to come into God's presence and walk on holy ground and know what that's like, to provide fertile soil for them to grow and produce fruit, to invite them to find that thin place where they can experience the closeness of God, and to give them a glimpse of what it's like to live together in Christian community. Our prayer is that they will leave camp and continue to be aware each day that they are living in God's presence and enjoy his consolation. How lucky are we to be a part of providing fertile soil. I'm going to end with a poem that I found. It speaks of thin places. Atop a high mountain or in the dark valley below, in the corner of your room or in the hustle and bustle of the busy city center, may you find a thin place. A place or time or event so unique, so full of wonder, so sublime. A place where heaven and earth collide and the diaphanous veil of separation is unusually thin. A time where you can almost feel angelic wings beat against your cheeks and see the divine smile shining through. An event where your heartbeat quickens and you experience the mystery of God in the mundane or in the spectacular. A thin place is a threshold, a holy bridge, a door to the throne room slightly opened. It is a moment in time and space in which we can dwell and dance and move if aware. A thin place is an encouragement, a sacred invitation to draw near, to approach barefoot in humility, in reverence and awe. It is both seen and unseen. Invisible, we see you. May you in the wilderness of the countryside or the city find a thin place today and be blessed. Amen.